work into it.
All right, this is a very special maim we're going to learn today. It's one of the last maimarim that Rebbe said publicly. It was Erev Pesach, Yudalad Nissan, the eve of Yudalad Nissan. The year was 1989. Rebbe said this maimer actually when he was standing at a lectern. Usually he was sitting. The last maimer that Rebbe said with the nigun, with the special song that they sang before to prepare. Matzah zu shanu eichlam al shum ma. In the Haggadah we say, we query, this matzah that we're eating, why are we eating it? So we have this in the Haggadah, we have this idea that there's three things you have to say. Pesach, matzah, and maror. If you don't say these three things, then you're not going to be yetzah, you're not going to fulfill your obligation. So we have this notion that it's important to say these three things. And it's not only just to say these things, but we have to explain these things. In fact, this is not related to the Maimer, but Reb Chaim Brisky used to say that one of the differences between the mentioning of Yetzias Mitzrayim a whole year and what we do on the night of Pesach is that here we have to give reasons. You can't just say the facts, you have to give reasons. So what's the reason? So the reason, matzah zu, this matzah, asha'anu eichlam, that we're eating, al shum ma, why do we eat it? And the Baal HaGadah answers, al shum, shalei hispik betzekes, shaviseinu lahachmitz, because God did not allow the dough of our ancestors to ferment or to reach the process of what we call chimutz. Until God himself, the King of all kings, revealed himself and redeemed them. That's the expression. So this matzah we eat, why do we eat it? Because God did not allow the dough to rise until such point that he revealed himself and took us out of Mitzrayim. There's a lot of elucidation required about this. It's very hard to understand on many levels. We're going to focus on this from a mystical and Hasidic perspective. In the Maimarim of our Rabbeim, starts with the Maimarim of Likutei Torah, all the way down to the Maimarim of the Friedrich Rebbe, especially in Tavshin Dalet in 1944. So there's this discussion, the Zesha Imer, that the Baal HaGadah says, Shahatam al achilas matzah bePesach, that the reason for eating matzah on Pesach, hu mishum, is because shalehispik lahachpitz, because it wasn't allowed to rise. We eat matzah. We take pains to make sure that our dough doesn't rise. And we eat this on the night of the Seder. Why? Because God did not allow the dough to rise when we left Mitzrayim. So, af shahat sivui al achilas matzah hayalifnizeh, even though the commandment to eat matzah came prior. When did the Jewish people get a commandment to eat matzah? They got a commandment to eat matzah at the same time they got a commandment to eat Korban Pesach on the 10th day of Nisan. They received all their instructions. And on the night of the Seder, they didn't eat any chametz. They only ate matzah. They didn't leave Mitzrayim until the next morning. So the fact is that the first commandment about matzah that the Jewish people received and the first matzah they ate was not at the time of leaving Mitzrayim. It was not Achen Nigla Aleim Melech Malchei Amlochim. When was it?
Before.
And yet, here we are sitting at the night of the Seder, and we say the reason we eat this matzah is because God didn't allow the dough to rise after we left Mitzrayim, or as we were leaving Mitzrayim. But factually, that doesn't seem to line up with what really happened. So why is that? How does that work? Like, why would we say we eat matzah tonight at the night of the Seder? Because in the morning of Yetzias Mitzrayim, God didn't allow the matzah to rise. Why wouldn't we say we eat matzah on the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim? Because we ate matzah on the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because that's the commandment we received at the time. Ki ba'atzivo yalachilas matzah. Because with regard to the commandment to eat matzah, the first commandment that is, the commandment to eat matzah on the night of the Seder, of what's called Pesach Mitzrayim, the Passover that was before God passed over. The Passover that was spent still, the last Passover ever spent in Mitzrayim. You could say the first, the last, the Pesach that was spent before the Geula. So over there it says, Ba'erev, in the evening, Teichlu matzis. Over there it says, you eat matzah. And over there, the matzah, the word matzah is written, Mem Tzadik Tuf. Matzis Choser Vav. Not matzis, but it says matzas. We pronounce it matzis, but it doesn't say it. There's no vav there. Ubeposuk vayefu es habotzek asher heitziu mimitzrayim ugois matzis. But in the pasuk that says, and they baked when they were leaving, the dough that they took out of Mitzrayim, they baked it ugois matzos. Over there it says matzos molivov. Over there matzah is written differently. So the obvious question is, why do we have two spelling systems? It's the same language. It's the same wafer. It's the same dough. How come the first time it's spelled without a vav, and the second time it's spelled with a vav? Now, to be sure, in Hebrew, sometimes letters or words are are spelled with a vav, and sometimes without a vav. So a famous one that everybody should know is used to. The word Chanukah can be spelled Chanukah with a vav or without a vav. It's not pronounced differently. It's just, you can write it either way. That's how Hebrew is. You can write it what's called mole or chaser. You can write it full, which means you write out the vowelization or some of the vowelization, or you omit vowelization altogether and you only write the syllables that spell out the word. All right. But when we see the very same subject being discussed in virtually the very same frame of time, and one time it's written full, and one time it's written with the omission of those letters, that is a cause for a question. So that's it. So 1 second. Which way do you spell it? Is it written malay or chaser? Is it written with the vav or without the vav? And over here, it's the same matzah. It's Jewish people leaving Mitzrayim, eating matzah. Here it's with the vav, there's without a vav. So that's the question. How come the first time it's written without a vav, omitting the vav, and the second time it's written malay with the vav? And there are many explanations for this, just by the way. But the explanation of Chassidus is like this. The command that God gave the Jewish people with regard to eating matzah yet in Mitzrayim is the matzah that was eaten and the command that was given for matzah eaten prior to midnight, prior to chatzos. You know what midnight is, right? That's the big moment when the clock strikes 12. All of the fairy tales that are written about midnight, they all have their roots in the story of the Exodus. Everything's in the Torah. So the midnight, the idea that at midnight something extraordinary is going to happen, this is the concept of Makas Bechodes, at the stroke of midnight. So there's the matzah that was eaten prior to midnight. They didn't wait till midnight to eat the matzah. They had a seder. They sat down in the evening, night fell, everybody sequestered themselves in their homes, they closed the doors, they had their blood dashed on the lintels, on the doorposts, and they had a seder. They ate a Korban Pesach, they ate this roasted meat, and they told the story that was going to happen. They talked about the fact that we're going to be leaving Mitzrayim. Maybe they talked about getting the Torah. They had some awareness of this. Maybe they talked about what the future would look like. But they received commandments about this. They were told, you're going to come to a land, you're going to have children, who are going to question, by the way, give you a hard time. All these things they were told about. And presumably, this is what they talked about around that table. And what they eat, they ate matzah. But that was all before Chatzos. Umikivan. Because before midnight, before the stroke of midnight, they were still in Mitzrayim, which was the Fnation Nigla Aleihem Melech Malchim Lachem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before they experienced revelation. Lachain b'matzazu k'siv matzah is chaser vav. That's why this matzah is written without a vav. Why? Because the matzah, the written without the vav, is symbolic of something missing. There's something incomplete. The matzah with the vav represents something, an infusion of something special. When you talk about the dough that they baked, ovenless, by the way, they didn't bake it in an oven, right? You know, the sun baked the dough. So, miraculously. So, when they talk about the dough that was baked, or the dough that they took out of Mitzrayim, which was ugois matzah, cakes of matzah, medaber b'hamatzah she'ofu, the matzah that they baked, or was baked, v'ochlu, and they ate, when did they eat it? No, after leaving, you got to have lunch. I mean, they left. You know, you imagine a bunch of Jews coming out of Mitzrayim. When is lunch? Oh, look at this! Amazing. The dough baked. They think we have to build a hasty oven. No needs. It's okay. We're okay. We can. When the dough is baked, and they ate it la'achas shi'atzu Mitzrayim. They ate it on the first day of Pesach. When did they bake it? It baked on their backs.
No. So during.
Barbanel says it was the first mitzvah they got. Hashem said to them, no chametz. And they had to leave Mitzrayim suddenly. So we didn't bake the bread yet. We had prepared the dough. We're just going to make some. No, let's leave this second. That's at that moment. Abarbanel describes this very beautifully. He says they were so nervous. It's their first mitzvah. They were pounding a dough and pounding a dough, because if you pound the dough, it doesn't rise. And they kept it wrapped in wet, like wet shmatas in cloth. All these things they were doing to inhibit the process of fermentation, so it wouldn't rise. And they kept pounding. And they were so nervous, they had such anxiety. Uh-oh, we don't want to like drop the ball. First mitzvah you get, you want to do this right. And that's what was so cherished to Hashem. They cherished that first mitzvah. Everybody was consumed with this mitzvah. And then, amazingly, then they opened up the dough, they were banging it. It wasn't dough anymore. It baked. That's the meaning, he says, of it baked on the back. So the dough bakes on your back. You'll die before dough bakes on your back. It doesn't make any sense. It's a miracle. It's a miraculous thing. But this miracle that was experienced, they opened it up. They were so worried, been concerned about this first mitzvah. And boom, look at that. It's already done. And that's what they ate the next morning or the next afternoon. So this is, once they ate that, that was their first meal in freedom. I hate to use the expression, but the matzah before Chatzos was the last supper in exile. And then the first meal, the first lunch, the first dinner outside in freedom was the matzah that had been baked miraculously. So the matzah they baked by themselves was their last meal in exile, the last meal in bondage and slavery. The matzah that Hashem baked miraculously was the first meal in freedom. That was the difference. So what happens here is, in this pasuk that speaks about the matzah of the next morning, la'achas sheyatzum mitzrayim, after they had already left Egypt, says zehoyu la'achas chatzos. Obviously that was after midnight. The stroke of midnight is when everything happened. Everything turned upside down at the stroke of midnight. Mass fatalities across Egypt. The Pharaoh is running in his pajamas. Where is Moshe? Out! No more Mitzrayim, no more slavery, no more, no conditions, you're free, go. But that all happens after midnight, which is symbolic of this notion of what we call revelation. After God reveals himself and redeems them. Therefore, b'matzazu, on that matzah, it says molivav, it's written with a vav. This is why the matzah prior to chatzos, the commandment they receive, it says ushmartem es hamatzos. You watch that matzah. What if they watch it? Because if you don't watch it, you don't take care, it will rise. It's like, what do you have to do to make dough rise? Nothing. Nothing at all. Just leave it alone, it'll rise. Shetzicha shimur, it has to be watched, shaloi tavi ledei chimutz. Because otherwise it will come to chimutz. But the matzah that followed after chatzos, ksiva yefos habotzek. Matzos, they baked it matzah. What do you mean they baked it matzah? You know why they baked it matzah? Ki loy chametz, because it wasn't chametz. What happened? What do you mean it wasn't chametz? Well, it wasn't. It's because the pains they took, no, it just wasn't chametz anymore. That was it. So the matzah, which is achre chatzos, the matzah, which is kiloi chametz, represents something shame atzma leba lidei chimutz, something which in and of itself could not come to the process of fermentation, could not self it come to be that which the Torah prohibits. Ki ha-matzah she'achre chatzos yibchinas molivav. The matzah after chatzos has the vav. So al pi kabbalah, like the Alter Rebbe explains in his Maimer, the idea of a vav represents hamshacha, a yud. In the Hebrew alphabet is the smallest of letters. It represents the beginning. Everything begins with a yud. When you write Sefer Torah letters, everything begins with a yud. Everything begins with a dot. And you develop the dot from there. So it's like when there's any kind of revelation, anything which is being conveyed, it all begins with a flash, a moment of inspiration, a moment of clarity. And then you can develop the idea. So the idea of a vav, it's like a yud. However, it goes down, comes down on the side. And it actually comes to a point. Al pi halacha, it has to come to a point. The vav comes to a point, and the idea of it coming to a point is that it's nimshach, it's being drawn down. So you take the yud, you actualize it. You take the yud, you bring it forth. And this is why the matzah has a vav inside. Vav is not just any little vav. That vav represents taking something very lofty and bringing it down. So here we had this revelation from God, and we brought it down. It's brought down into our world. That's why the matzah is written with a vav. Hagilui de nigla aleim alach machim lakadosh baruch hu. This is the revelation that Hashem revealed himself. And when God reveals himself, and when that's actualized, you don't have to worry about matzah. You don't have to worry about chametz. Everything will be right. Why? Because there's no more concealment. Because God's presence is manifest. Because it's real. It's actualized. It's been made part of the rubric of our existence.
And that all happens after chatzos.
That all happens after chatzos. Before chatzos, there was no miracles yet. When did the miracles happen? at midnight, and from there forward. So the Rebbe now observes, v'hine chiluk zeh sheben kedem chatzeis u'la'acharei chatzeis, this difference of prior to midnight and subsequent to midnight, that midnight is the mark of demarcation between the matzah, which is azoi, you know, that you have to work at, and the matzah, which is revelation. That mark, that line, where there's a paradigm shift, that's only b'Pesach Rishon, that's in the first Pesach, where there was half the Pesach. This is the only Pesach ever in history started. The Pesach started in Mitzrayim, but it finished out of Mitzrayim. It started still in slavery, but it continued out of slavery. It's not like Hanukkah, which we talked about before, which according to most of the Rishonim, we say Chanu Chafei, they rested on the 25th. They battled, the battles raged until the end of the 24th, and on the 25th they rested. So when does Hanukkah begin? On the 25th, when they rested. However, when it comes to Pesach, we say, no, they didn't rest. When did they rest? When did they, so to speak, have respite? When did they have freedom? The next morning. But we start observing Pesach when? Tonight, the night before, Lifnei Chatzos. So the whole difference of before Chatzos and after Chatzos, that's only Lifnei Matan Torah. Mashenkin la'achari Matan Torah, once the Torah was given, which is only a short 7 weeks after this event, even though the matzah we're eating tonight to say there is prior to Chatzos, and pointedly so, dafke before Chatzos, we make an effort to try to eat all the matzah, including the afikomen before Chatzos. He bechinas matzahs malivav. Nonetheless, it's still called matzah with the vav. How do we know this? Because the Baal HaGadol says matzah zu, this matzah that we're eating. When are we eating it? Before Chatzos. It's supposed to be eaten before Chatzos. When are we eating this matzah? Before Chatzos, and why do we eat it? Al shum shalei hispik. And what does it say over there? It's talking about the matzah with the vav. Let's look at the matzah after. Zeh shekasev b'hagodah matzah zushan eichlem al shum mo. Al shum shalei hispik. That's why it says this matzah we eat. Why do we eat it? For what purpose? And the answer is because Hashem did not allow the dough to rise. Shemei atzma l'debol l'chimutz. And of itself, it didn't come to a state of chimutz. Ad shenigla aleim, melech machim, lechem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, until Almighty God revealed Himself. Uga olam.
So they ate without a vav, and we eat on the same
they way. Ate without a vav because it was before Chatzos.
Right.
They only got Chatzos. To eat with a vav the next day. And we eat before Chatzos with a vav.
Yeah.
Why? Because we're after Matan Torah. That's the beard that says in Chassidus. The Rebbe adds a new level of understanding to this concept. He says it's not only because after Matan Torah, the Yesh Leimar, here's the Rebbe's Chiddush, here's the novelty now in Chassidus, Sha'amatzah sha'anu oichlim la'achari Matan Torah, that the matzah we eat after the Torah was given, is not, as you just said a moment ago, or as everybody learned until this Maimer, like the matzah with the Vav. The Rebbe suggests that the matzah of today is l'mayla yoyse gamma b'chinas matzah malivav de Pesach Rishon. It's beyond the vav. It's not with the vav, it's beyond the vav. It's higher than the vav of the first Pesach. Why? Because the first Pesach, even though they had nigla aleim, they had revelation, what didn't they have?
The Torah.
The Torah. And because they didn't have the Torah yet, so it was lifnei matan Torah. Because once we're eating matzah, and matzah represents revelation of divinity, matzah allows us to access a very, very high and lofty dimension of divine energy. That this matzah that we're eating after Matan Torah, it doesn't just come just like that, like we're slaves or watching makos happen, and suddenly, boom, eat matzah. It comes like the kedimus ha'aveda b'kiyum ha'Torah mitzvahs b'mesach kol hashana. Do you know how we get to the Seder night? We get to the Seder night from a lot of work. First of all, we prepare for Pesach. I just met a fellow before. I say, you ready for Pesach? He says, yep, 3 months later. I'm like, really? He says, yeah, 3 months. And I think to myself, how beautiful. How much nachas the Ebershter has. That the Yid, for 3 months, him and his family, the young family, preparing for Pesach, for 3 months working, so they should be able to have a Seder the way a Seder should be. Wow. And really, in some ways, you know, we started preparing for this year's Seder the day after Pesach. Because we achieved whatever we achieved last year. And our Yiddishkeit is a slow steps, one step, the other step, madrega after madrega, until we reach the next climax, the next Pesach. And every year Pesach, it's a new level. It's a new vista. You're uncovering new dimensions. You're connecting to Hashem in a more profound way. So it's a gili, naila yaser. It's a higher level. So up until this maimer, we learned that the matzah we eat on the night of Pesach before Chatzos is matzah with a vav. We're eating the vav. Now the Rebbe says, no, actually it's not so. It's more than the matzah with the vav. If they could eat a matzah with a vav before Matan Torah, imagine what we're eating today. A, we're after Matan Torah. B, we've been working on this. And the Rebbe says, this is al derech mailus hagilu de chag ha-shavuos. This is in reminiscent of the revelation that punctuates the festival of the giving of the Torah, which comes, how does the festival of the giving of the Torah unfold for the Jewish people? They just get the Torah? No. They have to work at getting the Torah. So, you know, the Balei HaTosfos asked the question, why did it take 7 weeks? Why 49 days? The Balei HaTosfos answered the question, because the people were still beaten, bludgeoned, injured. They needed to recover. They needed to get their health back. However, the Chassidus says, it's not just a question of getting the health back. Actually, the Aruch Chaim talks about this. He says it's spiritual rehabilitation. And the Maggid of Mizrich says that Usfartem comes from the terminology Sfiris Ubehiris, means to fill your life with light. The Rebbe once asked, how come they started counting the next day? Why didn't they count the first day? We know we count the second day of Pesach. So we have a famous Rashba. The Rashba talks about this idea that we were counting down to Matan Torah. And so even though we're counting from the first offering, meal offering, which is bread of barley, to the next major meal offering, which is bread of wheat, we're counting down. It's called Sfirat HaOmer, actually. It's not called Sfirat HaTorah. But nonetheless, it's reminiscent of the Jewish people's counting for up to Matan Torah. So the Rebbe asked, so how can we count the second day? He said the Jewish people had no clue when they're getting the Torah. They were told, you will leave the land of Egypt, you will leave slavery, you will come to the land of Israel, you will receive a Torah. So they thought they're getting a Torah today. Mm-hmm. They got miraculous lunch, and they said, Moshe, when is this Torah thing happening? And Moshe said, ah, not now. In seven weeks? So that's when it started counting. That's it. So once they knew, they didn't have a timeline before. So the whole idea of Sfirat HaOmer came Achrei the Aveda. There was no Aveda of Sfirat HaOmer. Especially that first year, there was no Omer Karban. There was no offerings. The next year there was. The first year there wasn't. So what were they counting for? They were working on themselves. Their physical rehabilitation was coupled with spiritual rehabilitation, with filling their lives with light. And that's not easy. And that effort that was made, Shagili the Yetzias Mitzrayim, that the revelation at the time of leaving Egypt, at the time of the Exodus, in the Yeser Gilin Naila BeYeser, even though it was an extraordinary level of revelation, as it says, B'chvoideu V'atzmei, God Himself in His full glory, whatever that means, but it's something very special. So the Avedas HaTachten, so that's very great. Mikol Makom, nonetheless, Mikivan Sha'agilui, Hayo Mitzad Mil Milo, because that was lofty revelation, but revelation that was legislated or brought to us by our sponsor. It wasn't something we did. It was given. Got a free lunch. And since it came from our sponsor, so it was only Lufi Shah. You don't earn it. You're not necessarily going to come again tomorrow. Today you got it. Why? We had a sponsor today. How about tomorrow? No sponsor. But if it's something you worked on, it's a different story. You know how the expression goes? You give a man a fish, feed him for a day. You teach him how to fish, then he's fed for life. So here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't, the first time, he gave us revelation. We had revelation. How long did it last? Well, for as long as we had revelation. And then it dissipated. But that was only Lefi Shah. We learned how to create light by ourselves. Hashem gave us the matches. He gave us the neshama and the wick. He said, now kindle your own little match. Now light up. Now inspire yourself. Now fill your light with soul. When you have to fill your life with light, fill your soul with light, Avedas HaTachten, which this comes, the first has to be, somebody's got to jumpstart you. So after we got jump-started, and that was the idea of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and then Hashem gave us the ability, so not only were able to achieve Mem Tes Shiodim, not only were able to go out of 49 gates of impurity, which God schlepped us out and brought us to the first gate of holiness, first gate of Kedusha, of understanding of godliness. And then we started going through these gates on our own. Every day we achieved a new gate, a new level. And then we went past all 49 gates. And what happened at the end when we finished exhausting all the possibilities and did everything that we could? Lach v'shleimus the mem tesharim, after going through 49 gates by ourselves, then we reached a brick wall. We couldn't go any further. And that's called Sha'ar Hanun. That's called the 50th gate. How do you get to the 50th gate? Hashem. Only Hashem. Nobody has the key to that gate. And that's that 50th gate in the Sha'ar Hanun, which this Sha'ar, which this also comes to us, it also comes through our efforts. No, but you only count 49 days. True. But the Torah also on another occasion says, Tisbru Chamishimim. You have to count 50 days. So just like the Torah says you have to count 50 days, even though we never count 50, we only count 49. The only way you can get to 50 is if you count 49. In other words, exhausting the possibilities available to you, using all the wherewithal, firing all of your cylinders, then you can break the atmosphere, and that comes from a higher place. Ubisharanun gufa, and the sharanun, the 50th gate, noisava beginas atachtena shabai. Not only the lower level of the 50th gate, but the Rebbe goes on to talk about the higher level of the 50th gate, and he gets into a sophisticated conversation of something called Keser, and two levels of it that's beyond the time we have this morning. So bottom line, what is the Nakuda of the Rebbe's beer? The first Nakuda. Then the Rebbe adds another level. This is point one, then he makes a second point, which we're not going to be able to get to today. What's the point? The point is like this. In Chassidus it says the matzah that was eaten prior to Chatzos was without a vav. It wasn't revelatory. It was an obedient experience, not a revelatory experience. The next morning's matzah was more than obedience. The Jewish people obeyed, but because they obeyed, they got to see miracles. That was matzah that was miraculous matzah. And by the way, that miraculous matzah lasted for a long time, until the manna fell. It lasted for a month. So the first matzah didn't last very long. That was gone very quickly, because it was regular matzah. The next matzah was magic matzah. And magical matzah, post-midnight matzah, oh, that could last. So that was amazing. And then we find out that the matzah we eat today, at our Seder tonight, is on a spiritual level, the Vav matzah. That's what we learned in Chassidus till this Maimer. The Rebbe came along and said to us, you know what, actually? The matzah you're going to be eating tonight is not only the Vav matzah, it's beyond the Vav matzah. And the reason is because of you. Because of you. Because of Matan Torah, but because of you. Because you and I got the Torah, so that's because of God. Because we followed up by making our efforts, that's because of us. And due to our hard work, due to our loyalty and our love to Hashem, due to our commitment, dedication, and devotion, that's why the matzah we eat tonight is even loftier and greater. So don't miss it. And make sure you eat the matzah. Only when it's dark. I wish all of our listeners from around the world a chag kosher v'sameach, a happy and a kosher Pesach. Hashem should help us that from eating the matzah with the vav, plus on steroids, we should merit to eat the Sher HaBor and the Leviathan with Mashiach, b'mheira, u'b'yameinu, amen.
Amen.
With a mixed milk or cheese, you